Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
I'm going to sell you on a guy that I already know you're not buying. All the deep dives.
Caillou, the kid that whined. I'm going to be frank. Sometimes I want a Clifford and Bear in the Big Blue House to go over and just knock him around.
I think they will win. They're back at home.
I'm going to go off here.
Hans, come in here. Let's poke you in the eye.
I literally just create madness. I put a packet of mild sauce.
The one Taco Bell packet was a little...
That was strange.
I don't know. Their secondary grades out is the worst. High scoring. Take the over. He who had injury.
King Derek the Fifth.
Is it better to have two defensive coordinators or none?
Or none.
They have Tua's brother. It's easier than to pronounce. Talia Tua Valoa. Yeah.
This song I really dislike.
Hans. Trevor's on fire right now. You got to be a trendsetter. 14 team, all heavy favorite. How dumb am I for doing that?
Yeah, you're dumb.
Good evening. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5. You get another hour of Lon and Derek, and Derek's over here laughing.
I am.
So I'm anxious to hear what he's laughing about. Trevor Valise will join us in moments. We're going to whip around the NFL. The NBA starts tonight. We actually have a soundbite from Joel Embiid, if we want to play it, on Ben Simmons. And you told me that he was kicked out and suspended, I guess.
Kicked out of practice today, suspended one game.
Okay.
Who knows if he'll actually play one game for the Sixers this season.
For actions detrimental to his team, maybe. That would be...
That like was the gist of it, yep.
So what were you laughing at? Or can you tell me?
Oh, I can tell you.
Oh, okay. I didn't know because, you know, you were looking at your computer. I didn't know if maybe somebody had emailed you something funny or...
I was laughing actually at something that Trevor said.
Oh.
When you said, are you guys ready for this? And then Trevor's like, yeah. It's kind of like a sarcastic, yeah. That's what I was actually laughing at.
That's what you were laughing at.
But I was also chuckling to myself during the break about, relative to what we were talking about before.
With Seth Davis.
Seth Davis and not having Kofi on his All-American list. But I just assumed was the first team All-American. Like you get five picks and Kofi wasn't one of them. No, actually, he gave a first team and a second team
All-American. You're kidding me.
And he didn't put Kofi on either of them.
Oh.
So I was surfing through some of the comments here on The Athletic.
Okay.
And he responds to an angry Illinois fan. And I wanted to read it on the air.
Can you read the Illinois fans?
Oh, there's a lot of them.
Oh, okay. So it's basically just in a nutshell.
Let's see. It says, Illinois underranked at 14. Coburn should belong in one of the top three preseason All-American teams. Curbelo maybe belongs as well. And there's back and forth and people saying that, yeah, Kofi's kind of an egregious miss and not having him in there. So Seth Davis replies and says, I'm a Kofi fan, but I've got three Big Ten front court players on my All-American teams, that being E.J. Liddell, Hunter Dickinson, Trace Jackson Davis. He also threw Jaden Ivey in there, guard out of the Big Ten.
Okay.
He said, and out of the three Big Ten front court players on his team, he said, I don't think he's as good as any of them.
Oh, wow.
I also think Curbelo will be Illinois' best player. Thanks.
And? Wow. I love that argument. Oh, and I also think Andre Curbelo is going to be your best player.
That's saying a lot for Curbelo. But
I mean, okay.
How is Trace Jackson Davis better than
Hunter Dickinson? Couldn't even score hardly.
I've got a stat line from Ann Arbor against Kofi. He was 1 for 8 from the field with 6 points.
Okay. So obviously, 4 of those points came at the free throw line. So he cannot even score against Kofi, but yet he's better than Kofi. Trace Jackson Davis and Kofi have had pretty good, they've had pretty good battles, but seemingly Kofi always gets the better end. And then who is the other one?
EJ.
Oh, EJ Liddell, who
is a matchup problem for Illinois.
He totally is.
Is he better than Kofi? I mean, in terms of the ones you have a problem with, Trace is easily number one.
Number one.
And I also don't understand based on Kofi's numbers had to have been better than Hunter's last year.
Yeah.
And then the individual matchup between the two, Kofi won convincingly.
Has Hunter Dickinson done enough to really warrant the idea that he is one of the best players in the country? Maybe he has. And maybe I'm looking at it through the glasses of an Illini fan that watched him get absolutely demolished with the rest of his team, by the way, in Ann Arbor. But I have watched games. There was a Ohio State-Michigan game that I watched, and Dickinson was really good. He scored like 22 that game and had like 11 rebounds. But there were other games that I watched Hunter Dickinson, and I wasn't – it's not that I'm not impressed. It's not that I don't think he's a good player. I just don't understand this love affair with Hunter Dickinson being like no doubt about it. He's one of the, if not the best big man in the country. I don't see it. But maybe I'm wrong.
He's really good. Like he averaged last year 14-7 or 14-8, depending on whether Lon is rounding up or down.
Right. But there's a guy from Brown that averaged 14-8.
That's true. I mean, the guys that he had to go up against in the Big Ten.
I know what you're
saying.
He's
very good.
But Kofi averaged 18-11 or whatever, or 18-10.
I don't know how you can dispute Kofi being the most dominant player returning to the Big Ten.
I don't either. So, I mean, there is a wide difference. The difference between 14-7 to 18-10 is like you shooting a 74 in golf and me shooting a 68.
Thanks for giving me the 74.
I'm sorry.
I would have been higher. No, I would have been a lot higher than that.
Actually, for you and I, it would be like you shooting a 114 and me shooting a 110, which really isn't that big of a difference. It's just you went out of bounds one other time. But, you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, the lower your golf score, the harder it is to keep getting better. I mean, that's not easy to – I mean, that's average. I mean, Kofi led the country, right, in double-doubles? Or was one of the – I think there was some –
one of the very top – I think it was the top in high major.
Yeah, because there was some dude from some weird college that was, like, the number one guy in double-doubles. Some weird college. It's probably, like, a really cool college, and I'm calling it weird. I just – you know what I'm saying? I just don't understand the idea that Hunter Dickinson – is just no doubt about it, one of the best big men. And again, he's good. Don't get me wrong. And he could easily pop in 20 and get 10 against Illinois this year. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't know. I get fooled by that stuff. All right, you want to whip around the NFL? That means we have to
Let's do so.
Get the mic hot for Trevor Valise. Trevor, your mic is hot. Radio term, TV term.
Mike was hot for Aaron Rodgers as well. I'm just going to say it before you do.
I blank on you. I'm blanking on you.
Kofi was ranked 7th on Ken Pom's player rater in the country. Hunter Dickinson 8th.
Ah.
So right behind Kofi, according to Ken Pom.
What are the top 10?
From last year?
Yeah, the player rankings.
I mean, some of this won't be accurate. Like, Luka Garza was 2nd,
so
you can't take that into account.
So, there's, in other words, there's not one going into the season only because
we don't have any data.
Got it.
You count returnees, though.
So, returnees, Timmy was 1.
Okay.
Garza, 2. He's gone. Evan Mobley, 3. He's gone. Jared Butler, 4. He's gone. Cameron Crutwig, 5th.
Wow.
He's gone.
He's gone.
Did he go to the... Where's he at? I thought he would come back.
He was like
a
fifth-year senior, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He's got to be going overseas.
With COVID, I guess
that's true, yeah.
I really honestly thought that Loyola would bring all those people back and that we'd face them again in the Sweet 16.
Io was 6th. Okay. Kofi was 7th. So Illinois, the only team to have 2 on here, except Gonzaga also had 2.
Okay.
So if I'm taking out the guys who are gone, Timmy's 1, Kofi's 2, and Hunter's 3.
Ah.
Travion Williams would be 4th.
4. Okay. That's interesting. And again, we went through those KenPom top 10. There's 4 Big Ten teams. Michigan 2, Illinois 5, Purdue 6, Ohio State 8. And Trevor, as you noted, you went back to 2016 because you have to actually work. You can't just do this all day. And being a KenPom top 5 preseason team means this. There's a 75% chance you'll make the Sweet 16 that year. There's a 45% chance that you'll make the Final 4. And there's a 55% chance over 50% chance that you're going to finish or remain, in the top 5 all year of the KenPom. And if you're remaining in the top 5 of the KenPom, you're doing something right. We never did get your tweet, Trevor.
I'm not sure what you're talking
about. It was about the 17 games.
Oh. KenPom does not project Illinois to lose until January 21st.
Wow. I'd be all right with that. Who does
that's at Maryland, so that's the game after the 2-game home stretch against Purdue and Michigan.
Don't we owe Maryland? they've kind of just quietly been a thorn in our side lately. Remember the game where Cowan went off or whatever, and they were up like big, and or was that?
Well, I remember Illinois being up big in College Park, and Cowan hits the 30-footer.
That's right.
And it was a foul because Andres Feliz dove on him, so then he got two free throws, and they won the game.
That's right. And then last year they beat us here.
And then actually, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
They came here and beat Illinois. And then also in that 2019-20 season, so Illinois lost in College Park, then came here, the sellout with Scott Van Pelt, and Illinois is up like 20 points. Turgeon's assistant gets a tech, and they storm back and end up winning that game.
And the year before that, DeMonte throws the ball over his head. Herter hits a three, and they win in overtime.
So, yes.
They have
they
been
do owe Maryland.
Oh, my goodness.
To in fact, point. I think you could argue that's the largest, like, you know how we did this whole, like, revenge tour monkey off your back thing with all these streaks? I think that's the only, like, 4 or 5-game losing streak remaining against a Big Ten team.
Yeah, we need to update a stat, like I used to say. Or like I like to say. Excuse me.
So we could call into a Maryland radio station and say, actually, you guys are all giving Turgeon heat. He's kind of like John Beilein in the minds of right, Illinois.
Right. He never loses. We can't beat him. It is amazing, though. I mean, Maryland's had good teams, don't get me wrong. But last year, you had a better team, and they beat you twice. That's crazy.
So KenPom thinks you'll lose 3 times this year.
To Maryland.
Maryland on the road.
Michigan.
See if you can guess the other two.
I'm going to say Michigan
at
on
Michigan,
the road.
Michigan at Purdue.
That is correct.
Boom.
Those 3 games. Now, what's interesting is the Maryland loss is a 1-point loss, according to the model. The Purdue loss, a 3-point loss. And the Michigan loss, a 6-point loss. So if you add those up, KenPom thinks Illinois will lose by a total of 10 points this year.
I would take that season. If you only lost 3 times, you're winning the Big Ten. I would take that season in a heartbeat. How many losses has a Big Ten championship regular season team had in the last, like, 5 years? I mean, it's usually always 5 or 6, right? Has there been one team that kind of did a lot better? Now, of course, last year with COVID was goofy.
Well, there was, like, the three-way tie. I don't know. They all had, like, 6 losses, didn't they, or something?
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those where you're like, because it always happens, right? You lose some game you're not supposed to lose. Like
I've got
Rutgers.
It here.
The other, like, was that 2 years ago? Did we lose? No, we lost to Rutgers last year. That's right. The Ark.
Last year, Michigan won it.
Rack.
The Ark. Good workout rack. Place on campus.
Yeah.
Nice track on the upper floor.
Not even called the Ark anymore, right?
It isn't.
Oh, or no, it's called the Ark now. What did it used to be called?
Well, there's Impey.
That's what I always say.
And the Ark.
Oh, there's.
I think there's two. They're two different places. Oh.
You can tell I didn't go to school at Illinois.
Last year, the champion was Michigan, even though that's wrong, and they went 14-3. The year before that was a 3-way tie. They went 14-6. The year before that, Michigan State and Purdue tied. They went 16-4.
Ooh.
Purdue in 2017 went 14-4. So the losses are basically go 3-6-4-2-4-3-2-4.
Wow. Okay, that's better than I thought. Purdue's won the Big Ten twice out of the last 4 years.
No, just once. In 2019, they tied.
Oh, they tied.
And in 2017, they won it.
Okay.
So they've won it twice in the last 6 years.
Man. Matt Painter. He knows how to coach. And he wears pink. I saw that tweet from his wife or whatever, and I think that was for breast cancer, which was a cool.
And he tells Matt Harms to get lost.
Yeah, that was awesome. Who was the other dude? Wasn't there another
Gel Eastern.
Yes. And he's like, well, you're just obviously not Purdue guys. I love it, man. Can we take a break and
anyways,
then whip around the NFL? John Gross, did you win a Big Ten championship?
Next question.
Oh, he got close. Didn't he?
No,
not really. The Maui tournament, that was his biggest. Was that his biggest thing ever?
Beating Indiana. Number one Indiana.
Oh,
so they
yeah.
beat a Big Ten champion.
Ah!
They did not win the Big Ten championship.
Okay, that's fair. And he did win the Maui Invitational.
He did.
Remember that Colorado game in the tournament where, like, nobody scored a field goal for, like, 20 minutes or something?
I was in Effingham.
The final score was, like, 48-37 or something. It wasn't that bad, but it was low.
I had a Pekin Insurance banquet, and I left early and drove to Effingham, had to check into my room to put on my, not a suit, but a coat and tie and all that. And I was watching the Colorado game, and I kept looking at the clock because we were supposed to start awards, and I was getting an award, and I'm like, they'll just have to hand me the award later. But it was one, and I sat there thinking to myself, am I really going to miss the award that I worked so hard on to watch this crap? It was just so bad, the game. But we won.
So Illinois was up 16 at halftime, and then they went, oh, let's see. They went 14 and a half minutes without a field goal in the second half.
Wow.
So Colorado came back from a 16-point deficit, tied it.
Oh.
Then Brandon Paul hit two late threes, and they won 57-49.
What, Brandon? Who did we lose to that year?
That was Miami. Miami and Barry Larkin's kid.
That's right, Sean.
In the next game, Shane.
Shane Larkin. That's right. And that's where the infamous rule now. Oh, that's right. That always gets Trevor's goat, too. He doesn't like that.
Miami. Jim Larinaga dancing.
Miami. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will finally get to the NFL whip around. It's the drive. Hey, it's Lante.
And Derek Piper.
Join us live every Friday before home football games this season at Pia's Sports Bar and Grill.
We'll be giving away prizes, Illini football tickets, and more.
Come kick back, listen to our show, and grab a Slugger Burger.
It's College Game Day Live with Tay and Piper.
Every Friday before home football games at Pia's.
Han's going to be there?
Of course I'll be there.
Ah, great.
On ESPN Radio, 93.5.
Save the date! The 26th annual Festival of Trees will be at the Hilton Garden Inn off Neal and Kirby November 19th through the 21st. Want to sponsor a tree or get involved in this event that improves our community with Junior League of Champaign-Urbana? Share your ideas! Lend your talent and skills to this great organization. Save the date! The 26th annual Festival of Trees will be at the Hilton Garden Inn off Neal and Kirby November 19th through the 21st. Get involved now. Visit juniorleaguecu.org.
At Forward from Rastavi, Georgia, number 15, Georgie B.
Hey, it's me, Georgie B. My last 3 years in Champaign have been amazing, amazing, amazing. But the fun doesn't have to stop. Get down to Game Day Spirit to find the exclusive Georgie B. t-shirt collection. You will be glad you did. It's always a great day to have a great day at Game Day Spirit, baby. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop. Yes, sir.
Hey, we're here with Brad Blumenschein again from RE/MAX Realty Associates. Brad, we're so busy now. How do you take the stress out of buying a home?
Well, Lon, you know this housing market's been crazy recently. A lot of people think they missed out. But if you're one of those luxury home buyers or sellers, the homes of $350,000 or more, there's still a ton of people out there looking for them. So give me a call right now, Brad Blumenschein with the RE/MAX Collection.
Be sure to give Brad a call or text at 217-840-4381.
Thinking of selling your home? Today's market is crazy, but one way you can be sure to stand out is by replacing your old flooring with new hardwood. And the best place to do it is Carpet Weavers in Champaign. Carpet Weavers boasts the industry's best brands, including Shaw, Mohawk, Paramount, and more. When it comes to natural beauty and a rich quality, nothing beats new flooring from Carpet Weavers. And they have financing options for your budget, so you can always afford the floor you truly want. Increase the value of your home by installing new, high-quality options from Carpet Weavers. Find out more online at carpetweaversflooring.com.
Hi, I'm Troy Lands, owner of Lands Inc. Is your plumbing system showing signs of cracks, sewer water infiltrating the basement wall? How about the things you can't see, like your underground drain and sewer pipes? A Lands sewer camera inspection and exclusive pipelining process can restore old pipes to like new quality with very little intrusion of your yard, and most projects can be completed in a day. Once installed, this will give you peace of mind that your underground drain and sewer pipes will be protected from root and water infiltration and increase the structural integrity with a one-piece liner. Visit LandsInc.com to learn more. I'm Troy Lands, and you can count on my company because you can count on me.
Take charge of the years ahead with a smart, sound investment strategy and business succession plan. UC Bank's business and wealth management experts help you envision your best future with powerful insights and proven strategies. Building business and growing wealth since 1868, UC Bank, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini, member FDIC.
Why do people go to PDR Automotive in Urbana? Because they take care of people like you. Angie dropped off her car to get her brakes evaluated. After a serious problem was discovered, they quoted her $2,100 that she would need to fix the problem.
I couldn't afford it, and I told them I better settle up and hope things don't get worse. PDR found a used part, sent off for it, and kept the bill at the original price. Who does that? I can't stop talking about them and have recommended them to people already. They are my new mechanic.
PDR Automotive on Cunningham in Urbana.
Did you know that the largest security monitoring company in our area has been sold? You will if you try to give them a call.
All of our representatives are currently busy.
When it comes to your home security and peace of mind, the last thing anyone wants to hear is,
the estimated hold time is 96 minutes.
Don't be left on hold. Trust the local and family-owned company who have been doing this for almost 50 years. Trust Barcom. Give them a call at 217-679-2387. They'll actually
Barcom Security.
Answer the phone. Barcom Security. Have a secure day.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Gold Jr. Catch Lonte and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Well, I've heard this before.
Is that gone?
Ow! Oh, he dropped it.
Dropped the ball. Like a run may score for the Braves, or did he have to hold up a third thinking he would catch the ball? By the way, it's 2-0 Dodgers in the fourth inning. Braves have two on. Looks to be one out. So we'll see what can happen there. Where'd that go? I lost it. I had it. Juwan Smoot played for Illinois.
Yeah.
Had to deliver his newborn baby. His wife, according to Adam Schefter, they were on their way out the door to go to the hospital, and she fell. She was starting to fall. He caught her, and then the baby started coming out. So he, Juwan Smoot, delivered the baby, and the paramedics talked him through tying the umbilical cord over the phone. That's pretty impressive, man. And, of course, Trevor then looks at me and goes, Juwan Smoot starts for the Jacksonville Jaguars? I'm like, is it not as impressive that he...
I clinged on to the least important part of the
totally
tweet.
Totally did.
It was... Jaguars starter Juwan Smoot, and after that I heard nothing. I was just like, wow.
But that's pretty cool. So congratulations to Juwan Smoot and his wife, and the baby's doing well. So really cool. All right, are you ready to... Oh, by the way, Andrew texted in, not mine. Just another Andrew, and said, I thought the arc is where Impey is now, or was. I think that is right. I think that what is now known as the arc used to be known as Impey.
There's another one.
Circe?
I think it's C-R-C-E, Circe.
Isn't okay. That like Game of Thrones? Wasn't she the
Circe?
Queen of the Dragons? No. Who was the Queen of the Dragons?
Whoever was Amelia Clark in that show.
Yes.
I think. Right? I haven't watched it. And I need to watch it.
Derek Piper has never watched Ozark.
I haven't. Or Game of Thrones.
You've never watched that either?
I've never watched Game of Thrones either.
Wow.
Starts a D, right? Daenerys or something like that?
Daenerys, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of... It's really confusing. It's a really confusing show, but it's really cool. Except for the ending. Like, everybody hated it, so... I wonder at 359-2255, because, guys, I'm getting ready to fly to Hawaii, and that is a long... Why do I say it like that? Like, I act like I'm actually from the country, from the state. So I always say, like, Hawaii to act like I know what I'm talking about. And it's just Hawaii. And you know the Mela Kaliki Maka? Do you know what they say next?
Is Hawaii's way?
Yeah, it's Hawaii's way. I never knew that.
Oh.
I always thought they said Mela Kaliki Maka is the wise way to say Merry Christmas to you. But it's actually Mela Kaliki Maka is Hawaii's way. I did not know that.
I'm actually in the same boat as you on that
See?
One.
See?
Yep.
And I still, to this day, if I'm singing that song, I still say is the wise way. And I'm like, come on, Lon. But I need like somebody to send in like a Netflix, what am I trying to say? Like,
Binge watch show,
because I'm going to be on that plane for a while.
Preferably like a mini series, right?
Yeah.
Like just 8 episodes, 40 minutes each or something.
I think it's a 9-hour flight.
Oh.
So
is you got to catch long? Up on Billions.
Yeah, long. From Dallas.
Oh, yeah, Billions, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Catch up on that.
That is a good show. I'm halfway through season 2 right now. I've still got a lot of catching up to do on that. All right, are we ready?
I've been ready.
Arizona's undefeated.
We'll get there.
Oh, okay.
We'll start with Thursday night. Feels like a while ago.
It always does.
Bucks moved to 5-1 after beating the Eagles 28-22. Brady threw two touchdown passes, 300 yards. Fournette, though, got 80 yards on the ground and two touchdowns. Antonio Brown, 93 yards, a touchdown. And the Bucks continue to roll.
By the way, Derrick Henry last night poo-pooed on us. But he got me a win in fantasy football. I'm now 6-0.
Three touchdowns.
Just trying to be good enough to stay up with my team, the Arizona Cardinals. So, yeah, it was a really weird game, and that's why I say that. The guy I was playing had Leonard Fournette, and I'm like, why are they – I mean, it was almost like the Buccaneers went into that game and said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to hammer the Eagles probably. So instead of throwing it all around, we're going to try to get a running game going. So they did with Leonard Fournette, and he got it going, and he had a big game. And Tom Brady does enough to win the game. What has happened to Mike Evans? It's not like
fairly
he's
quiet
hurt or anything.
Antonio Brown is the most dangerous receiver of the three right now. And they have three guys that I think right now are on pace to get 1,000 yards each in Godwin, Evans, and Antonio Brown.
Evans is on pace?
I could be mistaken.
I know, maybe he is. I mean, it might be a couple of games that I didn't see. By the way, the Dodgers
Braves.
He has
420 yards so far.
Oh, he does. Okay, I didn't realize that. So never mind. Maybe just what happened to Mike Evans that game. 2-2 now. Braves-Dodgers in the fourth. That's all I got on that one. Your Buccaneers are good.
They are, and my actual team faces them in Tampa this upcoming weekend, which is going to be pretty rough.
You should go.
Raymond yeah, James. I was looking at the tickets, and they're like $350 a pop.
Are they really?
It's a lot.
It would be more expensive to get the ticket to the game than to jump on Allegiant and fly down.
Right? Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, Tampa's offense is a machine.
Yeah.
Their issues are still on defense. They had more cornerback injuries. Sherman, who didn't play all that great, is already hurt. They're down to like their third and fourth corners in terms of playing the number one and two slots. So they're going to have to figure that out as time goes on, but offensively, they're still as much of a juggernaut as they've ever been.
No doubt. How many points will they score against the Bears?
Considering how many probably turnovers and dumb things we'll do offensively, 28.
Okay.
31.
Trevor, Tom Brady's now 9-1 on the NFL Network since 2012.
Where in the world did you get that from?
Never you mind.
Jaguars 23, Dolphins 20 in London, if you woke up to watch it. The Jags actually won a game.
Wow.
On the leg of a kicker who I guess was a like computer software programmer a month ago before they picked him up.
I called this upset. Yeah, what is wrong with the Dolphins now? Weren't they pretty good last year?
I think it was a 10-win team last year. They won on the road at New England to start this season, and now they've lost five straight.
They've been
without Tua for most of that stretch. Just got him back this weekend, but to lose to Urban Meyer and what's going on there
Jacksonville
is pretty rough.
That is the first win for the Jags since week one of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Week one of 2020. Who'd they beat there? I feel bad for that team.
The Colts.
Yeah. Oh, the Colts.
You remember because after that, Gardner Minshew said something like, and we're just getting started. And then they lost 19 in a row.
And they lost 20, in fact.
20 in a row.
20 in a row.
I don't understand what's happened to the Dolphins' defense.
I don't either.
Because that was a really good unit last year. Not getting it done.
Didn't make it. What happened to Walker Buehler? Bases loaded, fourth inning. None of us realized that Walker Buehler on the Dodgers was on that Vanderbilt team that came here and played Illinois. Because we remember
your boy,
my guy Dansby Swanson, and then Carson Fulmer was part of that. I did not know Walker Buehler was on that team. I didn't like that Vanderbilt team. All right, I'm done.
Bengals 34, Lions 11. Just a bad read by me to even be nervous about Bengals -3.5 in this one, but I was. Joe Burrow throws three touchdowns. Jamar Chase has 100 receiving yards again. Bengals roll.
I also picked Detroit here, thinking that was my upset crazy special I thought was going to happen. They're bad. 0-6 now. Their coach is getting fired up. I mean, he basically called Carson Wentz out, saying he's got to get better. He has to get
Jared
better.
Jared Goff.
Or I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry. One of those retread Eagle guys. Or no, he was a Rams guy.
That'd be funny if he just called Carson Wentz out from like in the middle of calling Goff out.
Just
he
out
was
of
like,
nowhere.
And you know who else needs to be better is Carson Wentz.
Because he's screwing my fantasy team. Yeah, Bengals, what? They're 4-2 now. And, you know, they almost beat Green Bay.
One of their losses is to Chicago.
Right. So the Bengals, I tell you, Joe Burrow has given instant credibility to that team. And now you've given him a weapon of Ja'Marr Chase to go along with Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins. I mean, that's a pretty solid squad. By the way, they've beaten the Lions, 7 straight times. Atlanta just took the lead 3-2. Was that an error on Seager?
It would have been a tough play. I don't think it was an error.
Okay.
He knocked it down, saved another run.
Jack Peterson scored. Oh, yeah. He's got to have that.
Yeah. He could have.
I agree.
It'll be interesting for, I don't know if revenge is kind of the way to say, but interesting storyline with the Lions going to L.A. this weekend. Stafford against the Lions. Goff against the Rams. That's not going to be a game Detroit's going to win. I don't know when, though.
Yeah.
Win their first one.
They host Arizona late.
Yeah.
Better not be then. They beat us last year.
It will not be. No.
Beat us last
year. In terms of the Bengals, there's nothing more automatic in sports betting than Ja'Marr Chase's over longest reception. Nothing.
It's hit every week, right? It's
every single week.
It's the new Kyler Murray for a touchdown of last year. I agree.
Colts 31, Texans 3. Jonathan Taylor goes for 150 on the ground and 2 touchdowns.
I mean,
did that hurt Lovie Smith's DVOA?
Yes.
Taylor, by the way, second running back ever with 10-plus yards per carry and 2-plus rush touchdowns in a game in Indianapolis history. Not ever, but in Indianapolis. How bad is Houston if they lost 31-3 to a one-win Colts team? I think the Colts are better than what they're showing. But, man, who did the Texans beat? Jacksonville.
Right?
Yeah.
Almost beat the Patriots
the week before. That's right.
No, they're not very good.
And they play the Cardinals this week.
What's the spread on that one?
I think it's 16.
Best team versus the worst team? That's insane.
Donnie from the Long Branch told me that yesterday.
That's insane.
It is. 16.
I'm not going to bet that, but.
No.
I mean, come on.
That's a lot of points.
Rams 38, Giants 11. Giants led 3-0 after a quarter, and then the Rams scored 28 points in 10 minutes in the second quarter, and they blow them out.
I feel like we didn't give enough time to Davis Mills, frankly.
Well, I think we gave the appropriate amount of time to Davis Mills.
People are like, who is Davis Mills? He's your starting quarterback in Houston. Look, the Rams are good. I'm sitting here just celebrating this whole 6-0 Arizona start, and I look barely below in the standings. It's like, oh, that's right, the Rams are 5-1. Now, you did beat them in SoCo or whatever that's called. 5-1 start.
SoFi.
Oh, is that what it is?
Tried SoFi. SoHo SoCo. A few weeks
Southern Comfort.
I did do SoHo.
Yeah. Next week it'll be SoCal. Southern California.
The Rams 5-1 start or better for the second time in the last 20 years. That's not
ESPN stats and info.
Yeah.
Twitter accounts is tweeting a storm up to you.
Rams are good. I still think that. I know I don't. I keep not giving my Cardinals their props, but I still think the Rams are the best team in the West.
This was another one where you look at the spread. I think it was like 8.5 or 9.5 or whatever it was. And if it was going to be Mike Glennon going for the Giants, you're like, oh, I'll fire away. But Daniel Jones is coming back from concussion. Like, I don't know. Mm. Well, Giants are pretty awful.
They're horrible.
And Jones threw 3 picks? Yeah.
The largest TV in the market has arguably the 2 worst teams in the NFL. I mean, I know Houston's in there and Jacksonville. But the Jets and the Giants, they're horrible.
That's brutal.
And they share a stadium. That still, to me, is one of the weirdest things I've ever... Like, you're telling me the Giants can't build their own stadium? It's just weird. And it doesn't look like that nice of a stadium, MetLife.
But the Rams have a great stadium there in Sonos. Oh, no, wait. That's Premier Sound's sound system.
Cooper Kupp keeps doing things. He's good.
Chiefs 31, WTF 13.
Oh, man.
Another spread that I at least was kind of leery about for just a minute.
Yeah.
But they blow them out in the fourth quarter.
A lot of threes and a lot of ones on the board, Mike. Kansas City's won 8 straight against Washington. I mean, it was weird. Like, early on in this game, Mahomes had, like, 2 interceptions or at least a interception and just didn't look like, I don't know. I got to the point there right before they took off where I was like, what is wrong with Kansas City? Like, something, I know the defense, but even the offense looks strange. But then all of a sudden, here comes Tyreek and here comes Patrick, and they did what they had to do.
Mahomes is making some really bad decisions. He already got 8 picks this year.
Wow.
Which has to be more than...
He had 6 last year.
That's all last year.
And he's already has 8.
Yes.
Man, now that's a stat.
So that's kind of... That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Something's going to have to clean up. Their defense isn't very good. Despite the fact that Washington put up 13 points, that probably says more about Washington and Taylor Heineke. Got to get a mention every week on the show.
By the way...
Contractually.
Yes, and I heard... I wasn't here for Trev's ticket, but I heard his name announced.
That's what he paid for.
We need to get him on the show. What are the chances of getting Taylor Heineke?
I think we'd run out of questions after about
I wouldn't even know what to ask him. Taylor, you seem to enjoy football.
It'd be a football question, then a beer joke about Heineken.
Yes.
And then that would be about it.
That's it. I would
Thanks for joining the show.
I'd look at Derek and be like, you got anything? And you would, because you would have done an hour of research. But I'd be like, did you play at Michigan? Like, I would just throw out random Heineke.
I feel like that's a guy in July I could probably swing.
I think so, too.
When he's like a QB3 somewhere next year.
I think our listeners should.
In the middle of OTAs.
Yeah. They should force Trevor to do that.
I've told you I've long wanted to do some segment if we were in a bigger market where like we just got like an Orioles beat writer on for 2 minutes and asked why they stink for a decade. They get like, you know, just the most eclectic, random selection
just
of guests
weird
possible.
Stuff. I think that'd be awesome.
I'd get nitty gritty with the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about the Florida Panthers.
Mm.
You know, just like the most
random
stuff
that nobody would want to hear. By the way, I thought Taylor Heineke played at Michigan because Chad Henne played at Michigan. So I took the H to think that was it. Are the Braves up?
They are.
It's like 4-3 or 5-3.
Bueller got bounced.
Or 2.
They're still in the middle of that inning where I think the bases are loaded now.
Okay. 4-2, maybe.
4-2. Yep. 4 earned for Bueller.
Wow.
3 2/3.
Bueller. I mean, I had to do it.
He went to Old Dominion, by the way.
Old Dominion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Vikings 34, Panthers 28. Vikings were up big in that game. Not big, but they were up. And the Panthers scored 11 in the fourth quarter to tie it, but then the Vikings walk off on a touchdown.
That's unreal. Marcel Shipp, I think, former Arizona Cardinal running back, went to Old Dominion, if I'm correct. Just random. I actually watched some of this Vikings game. I can't figure the Vikings out.
Doesn't it seem like every week they're in some insanely crazy,
it's
like,
weird. Like they scored 7 points against Cleveland. Then they go for 34 here. You've got Thielen and Justin Jefferson. Dalvin, I don't think, played again, right?
Well, he played in this
one. Oh, he did play. I just don't know. I mean, they're so weird that's why they're 3-3.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense.
They almost beat the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Then they almost lost to the Lions at home.
Yeah. Should have beaten the Cardinals.
That weird dynamic there.
It is weird. And then how do the Bears do against the Vikings traditionally in the last decade?
We've done well against Kirk Cousins
and
the Vikings, yeah.
Okay.
Ravens 34, Chargers 6. This was a 2-point spread. And the Ravens end up winning by 28.
Lamar Jackson is really good.
The funny part is...
You guys went into this saying, I don't know if I can trust the Ravens.
Here's the groan for Don't Talk Fantasy. But Lamar's my quarterback, and he got 10 points. The running back scored 4 times. So he wasn't even that good in this game. He had 2 picks, too.
What running back scored for Baltimore?
All of them. Le'Veon Bell scored 1. Devontae Freeman scored 1. Latavius Murray scored 1. Tyson Williams scored 1.
Aren't they the ones that lost like 3 running backs?
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyways, that's just my
personal
impressive gripe.
Lamar Jackson, 9-0. He's the only quarterback since 1970. That's when I was born. The 1970 merger with 5-plus starts and 0 losses in October. Not that anybody cared.
That's a real useless number there.
Chargers are a really good team, but they have a weakness in terms of run defense. They're one of the worst in the league going into this past week in terms of yards per carry, and they gave up 5 yards a carry, almost 200 yards on the ground. Brandon Staley, who's been really aggressive, gone for it on fourth down more than anybody, in hindsight made some mistakes here because he went for it deep in their own territory multiple times, and that turned what was them chasing maybe a score or two into the just full-fledged blowout.
Got it.
I did not expect this. I thought the Chargers would at least be close, if not win the game.
I did, too.
Hat tip to the Ravens.
I did, too. But that's a bad game to go into your bye with because the Chargers are on a bye this week. Can you imagine? You got to sit through that for another week. Yeah.
Buffalo on a bye, too, by the way. We'll get there. Yeah. That's kind of a rough way to end that as well.
Mm.
Aaron Rodgers, 24. Bears, 14.
I mean, he does own you. I don't know what to tell you guys. Green Bay has won 19 of the last 22 against the Bears. That's disgusting.
It is.
For a rival. You know, usually, normally when it's a rivalry like that, it's not as grossly lopsided as 19 of 22. Ugh. I'm sorry.
I don't even know how Packers fans look at this in terms of the rivalry. Is it a rivalry? It's a huge rivalry, but the fear of like, oh, we might lose this game is got to be so dwindled down to like, yeah, probably not.
Nah.
Probably not.
We're good.
We'll just own the Bears again. And Rodgers making that, look, he has every right to say that.
Yeah.
And it's true.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that it is so true, it makes it hurt that much more. And it's funny, you see on Twitter, and Bears fans are completely correct, and many people have said it. I think Trevor's even mentioned this. Each Bears-Packers game is like the same. It's like the rerun of the previous one, where it's not a complete blowout. There have been a couple of those.
Competitive game,
in it, but down a little bit, and then Rodgers just rips your throat out at the very end.
Right.
And I hated that I heard he did an interview with Pat McAfee and said something to the extent of, I didn't feel like that was the last time.
Oh, no.
I'll be trotting off that field. Because that was kind of the hope. Like, okay, that really hurt.
Yeah,
maybe he'll never be back. And he's like, actually, I didn't get the feeling. You know, and as we've talked about, he kind of did the weird, the energy around me wasn't that was the last time I'll do that.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, guys. That's all I can do is just honestly apologize.
It's good.
Khalil Herbert, 97 yards.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Fields made some bad mistakes.
Did he? I want to get, maybe tomorrow, talk a little bit of Bears, because I want to ask you about that. I want to get kind of the report on how you think he's doing, how he's progressing, etc.
Raiders, 34. Broncos, 24. It's the old fire the coach narrative. They were dogs going into the game, but they win by 10.
This is a good win for the Raiders. With everything going on, coming off the loss to the Bears, then you got to go to Denver. And I know Denver doesn't necessarily scare you.
They started 3-0, but now they're 3-3.
Yeah, so to go there and get this victory, that was a good win for the Raiders. Kenyon Drake had a big game. I did. I'm impressed by that win. That's one of the more impressive wins of the week for me.
It's a good Broncos defense. Derek Carr throws for 300-plus, which he's done 4 out of the 6 games.
Yeah, he had 2 in a row of like 200.
Yeah. He's second in the league in passing yards. He's throwing it down the field. I think I saw his PFF grades on deep throws is the best in the league.
Mm.
Hitting Henry Ruggs all the time. Yeah, to come off of all of the negative attention around Gruden and everything leading into this game, and then to perform like that was pretty
incredible.
Pretty impressive.
You know who's not hitting much is Waller. Getting about five catches a game. That's a high tight end.
Well, he might be tired from week one when he had like 21 targets.
It was incredible. I sat there after week one going, oh, and then he's had like five catches every week since and seven targets. I don't know. I don't get it.
No Cliff Kingsbury, no tight ends, no problem. Cardinals 37, Browns 14.
What is up, guys?
Cardinals 6-0.
I don't know. Jordan Phillips played, was big in that middle. J.J. Watt, again, was good. This secondary for the Arizona, this I'm going to say, last year, Buda Baker was one of the best playmakers in the secondary. You remember Tyrann Mathieu and how good he was? And I know he still plays, but how good he was with Arizona. Buda Baker is, I think, just as good. And I've hardly noticed him this year. I've hardly noticed him. That's how good these guys are playing. Zaven Collins, the big linebacker, graded out unbelievably. So he's showing up as a rookie. And Isaiah Simmons just keeps being an absolute athlete. Chandler Jones didn't play. Zach Allen didn't play. We've lost our center for a couple of games. And Max Garcia has filled in admirably. It's just the weapons that Kyler Murray has on this team and the way he utilizes them. A.J. Green is having a big year. And guess who comes into the fold next week? Zach Ertz across the middle. Rondale Moore. I mean, there's just... Kyler Murray had one play, and then I'm shutting up, where it was like third down and eight. And he, you know, the pocket starts to collapse. But there was one little hole on the left side, so he runs through it. And you, in your mind, were thinking, okay, he's running for this first down. And at the last second, he just launches like an 18-yard strike to Rondale Moore for a first down. And I looked at Andrew, and I'm like, you can't stop. That's hard to stop. And that's frustrating when you're a defense. Arizona's defense is impressing me almost as much as their offense. And that's the truth.
Because you knew the offense would be really dangerous.
Yes.
The defense to be like this. It's not the exact... It's not the perfect comparison, but I can't help but think now. Remember that Panthers team with Cam Newton that went all the way to the Super Bowl?
Yes.
And you wouldn't have preseason picked Carolina to come. Like, there were other good teams in the NFC. They went 15-1.
Wow.
And that was Cam's fifth year, Kyler's third year, so a little bit of a difference.
Cam
was the MVP of the league that year, completely took it by storm. Kyler's doing those type of things.
Great stuff.
And for the defense, they amaze me every week. I keep thinking that this will be the week they start to show some chinks in the armor, more of what we thought they'd be, and haven't seen it.
I mean, again, you noted it earlier. Minnesota should have beaten them. They missed a field goal. Joseph missed like a 34-yard field goal that an NFL kicker should be able to kick blindfold. But, hey, you got to get a little luck.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you guys scored 36 points in that game, so it's not like show up.
That's a good point. And then you dominate the Rams, essentially. I mean, Tennessee, you went down week one and just, it wasn't even a game.
No.
And then in Cleveland, I mean, I'm like, Cleveland's a pretty good team, aren't they? Now, you're going without Chubb. That doesn't help, but I don't think it would have mattered. I just really don't think it would have mattered. Phillips is the number one run stuffer that the Cardinals have, and he's finally back. And if he's healthy, then now you've got Watt and Phillips in the middle that you're not really running against with Zaven Collins and Jordan Hicks. And then you've got a guy like Isaiah Simmons that can line up as a safety, a cornerback, over the slot. Pinch me. Don't pinch me. I'm done. Sorry.
Cowboys 35, Patriots 29. These teams collectively scored more points in the fourth quarter and overtime than the rest of the game combined.
Wow.
And the Cowboys are 5-1.
Hans D, baby. I'm telling you, we've been on it. Early on, they're healthy, and they're good. And CeeDee Lamb is the number one target now. Move over Amari Cooper. CeeDee Lamb is the guy, and Dak Prescott is really good. That's impressive, that Cowboys team. 5-1. There's some really good teams.
Very good team.
Arizona, the Rams, the Buccaneers, the Cowboys. I mean, there are some high-end teams.
Packers in there. That's just the NFC.
That's the NFC. And you're maybe not talking about the best team with either the Chiefs or the Bills. And I'm probably forgetting somebody. Oh, Baltimore.
Titans will still be in the mix.
Titans will be in the mix. Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. This was another just phenomenal game. There's been so many really good games in the NFL. Especially like that prime viewing, whether it be a night game or like this afternoon and the game of the week. It lived up to it.
Mm.
Cowboys tried to find ways to give it away. They had like 600 yards of total offense and still like were trailing for decent portions of that
game.
It was the thriller, and it was the cherry on top of the Hans Dean special.
He nailed it. All right, we got to go quicker.
Steelers 23, Seahawks 20, Geno Smith starts. Gross.
Yeah, and I mean, Pittsburgh winning by three over a Geno Smith-led Seattle team. That's kind of ugly, but Steelers get it done, 3-3. Is Juju hurt?
I think so. Yes.
Okay.
So is Claypool.
Oh, so they're down to...
I mean, he played, but he played hurt.
He played hurt. Okay. Steelers do what they do. They won at Heinz, and they win these kind of games.
Didn't watch a second of it. Thank the Lord that there was a playoff baseball game on.
A waste of time. Watch too much of it. Titans 34, Bills 31. Bills go for the win on 4th and inches with 15 seconds left and don't get it.
And don't get it. He slipped. Did you see Derrick Henry's first touchdown when he ran away from the defense?
I didn't see it.
It looked like a middle school game when the kid who's already hit puberty just runs through everybody.
Yes. And I paused it, went back and watched it. He like crouched over like a running back does, in other words, like hands on the knees. He looked as big as any linebacker out there. He gets the ball. He makes one cut, gets a hole. One guy tries to get him. He sheds him. And then Derek, he just went, pew! He ran away from safeties and cornerbacks. And it was like, you got to be kidding me. Second straight game, 130-plus rush yards and 3 touchdowns. He is a beast right now. And the best 4th overall pick I've ever selected in a fantasy football draft. Except for Dalvin Cook that 1 year.
Yeah.
Who was really good. Man, I like 4th.
He already has 10 touchdowns. Hit 17 last year, 16 the year before that. Runs for easily over 1,000 yards every year.
And he's catching the ball more this year.
He's catching the ball, and he plays
all the time.
He barely ever gets hurt.
Nope.
He's played 16 games, 16 games, 15, 16, and has played everyone this year.
Their third down back got hurt, and he played those snaps last night. You keep waiting for him to wear down. And
I hesitate to say it, but it's like, is this close to like prime AP?
Oh, man.
Maybe not that level, but in terms of like durability and dominance, like
that's a good call.
That's up there.
That's a great call.
It's up there.
Mm.
Derek with some good comps this hour.
No doubt.
I dig the Panthers-Cardinals thing.
Yes. You came to play today, as usual. I was here.
As usual.
As usual. As usual. Well,
yeah, as usual.
Yeah, as usual. I mean, I'm usually here.
I'm just messing with
you. No, that's totally true.
And we're out late.
As usual.
As usual as anything. All right, thanks to nobody.
Seth Davis.
Seth Davis, yeah. Thanks for giving us some fodder, Jeff. Or Jeff. I'm just going to leave it at that. It's The Drive.